Sup? I'm resting and I'm just thinking out loud. Cue music. What's up, guys? And today we are going to be talking about the 20 best horror games of all time. And this article comes from www.gamesradar.com/best-horror-games/. So I will put the link in the description if you want to go check this out yourselves. And let's get right to it. Okay, so the beginning of the article says, there's a big change on our best horror games list as, gasp, Resident Evil 2 is removed, because Resident Evil 2 Remake has replaced it. Phew! It feels weird to remove one of the most influential horror games of all time, but it speaks volumes of the remake that it's able to replace the game it recreates. It's a beautifully made and gorgeous looking retelling of the story that's essential for all horror fans, whether they've played the old game or not. Elsewhere, we have 10 of the best other horror games of all time for your consideration. From old classics like Resident Evil 2 and 4, or Dead Space, to contemporary modern scares like Rush of Blood's VR Terror, or SOMA's Existential Dread. Whatever you're after, in terms of terror, there's something here to please, disgust, or scare you. Just don't blame us if you don't get any sleep after playing any of these games. And at number 20, we've got Lone Survivor. Jasper Byrne made his name demaking Silent Hill into 2D games. And you can feel that series' influence throughout his side-scrolling indie debut. Creeping monstrosities scrape down barely lit corridors, the world seems to shift around you, and you can never quite trust that your surgical-masked protagonist is the good guy. As the only living human, as far as you're aware anyway, you'll have to scavenge for supplies and hide from the things that go bump in the night if you hope to keep on keeping on. Oh, and you also have to maintain your sanity periodically, returning to your apartment. So basically, if you see any type of monster, just don't try to freak out. Just like get to your house, go to bed, you'll be fine. Your base of operations to eat some food and get some rest stops you from hallucinating. Yeah. Because you definitely just don't want to see a random thing and then think it's real. Yeah. The longer you're deprived of life's basic necessities, the harder it'll be to tell what's real and what's not. And that's when things get really bad. Thank you. All right, number 19 is called F-E-A-R, which spells fear. The first-person shooter was heavier on the shootout action than most horror games. The remarkable enemy AI still impresses to this day. While its arsenal of weaponry gets more brutal, wall-pinning, weaponized railway spikes, anyone, the more you play, but just as you begin to feel powerful, something that can't simply be shot comes along to put you in your place. Yeah. So, like, it's basically made of titanium. F-E-A-R's best scares come about when you were riding the high after clearing out a room full of tough enemies. Yeah, so you basically come into this dark room thinking, oh, I can do anything. I just defeated all those bad creatures. That's exactly the moment when you'd notice a strange figure staring at you from the end of a hallway. That would be creepy in real life. Like, seriously, if I saw something at the end of the hallway staring at me, nope, I'm getting out of there. It doesn't matter if it's in a game, it's still creepy. You'll come to dread the thought of bumping into the ghastly little girl, Alma, when you least expect it. If creepy phase in directly in your face dead girls aren't enough, Paxton Fettel seals the deal as a telepathic cannibal who leaves behind remnants of his feasts for you to find. Wow. Objects start to move on their own. All the lights would turn out one by one. That sounds like your typical horror movie. With the ghosts and all that crap in them. Like, oh, something levitates. And then the people that live in the house are just like, oh, that's weird. If that were me, I'd been like, nope, we're moving. We're moving now. I don't care. We can leave everything here. We'll get new stuff. We'll get a new house. We'll get new stuff. And it'll be the next owner's problem. What happens next? Well, guess you'll have to play it to find out. At number 18, we have Condemned: Criminal Origins. And from the picture, it doesn't exactly look well. In the picture, it has a caption that says, "Let's start by determining the cause of death." So it basically looks like a mystery game, probably where you have to figure out, like, there's a crime and you have to figure out who committed it. Yeah. Same games tread the line between real and not real beautifully, and Condemned: Criminal Origins' murder-solving intro blurred the boundaries beautifully. Yeah. So basically what I just thought from the picture. And the name, yeah. Starting with a very Hannibal-like, overly staged murder, things are almost immediately wrong. Just like walk into a crime scene and be like, something smells fishy. There are barely human homeless attackers to fight back, light blood trails to follow, and things just get worse from there. That sentence made no sense. There are barely human homeless attackers to fight back. Okay, it's starting to make sense, maybe a little bit. I don't know. Let's just go on. By the time you're exploring a ruined department store full of people wearing the faces of discarded mannequins, it's hard to tell where you crossed over from. Where you crossed over from cop solving crimes to man potentially in the underworld? It says something else, but I'm gonna say underworld because that's what I feel comfortable with. It's a very physical game, mostly focusing on a block slash attack melee combat system with guns and ammo, a rare and treasured respite. It's constantly dark and unpredictable, blurring the lines between a monstrous reality and an even worse something else. I don't even want to know what the something else is. It's probably like a scary ghosty or something. Because what can be worse than a monstrous reality? I guess you'll have to like play the game to find out what the even worse something else is. And at number 17, we have Fatal Frame 2, Crimson Butterfly. Picking up on the tropes of Japanese horror and folklore that were made famous in The Ring and Ju-on, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I don't know. The Fatal Frame series has always been unsettling. How would you describe it? I've never played it before, but I assume it would be something like, what could be unsettling? More unsettling or as unsettling as a horror game? Probably nothing else. So let's move on. Characters are frozen in place with fear. Their only weapon against soul-stealing ghosts is an ancient camera. Would it be used, to find the creatures? The soul-stealing creatures? That's the only reason I could think of that would be your only weapon. And how would that exactly defeat the ghosts? Do they hate being filmed? This means the only way to fight your enemies is to face them head on, an increasingly terrifying proposition as the game wears on. The franchise has several great entries, but we choose to single out the second game as the best fit for this list. Crimson Butterfly updates the graphics a bit from the first game, and it's the most inviting in its difficulty. So it's just like, yeah, come on, let's play. Making sure there's an ever-present threat without getting too frustrating. It also has the best story, a personal journey between two sisters dealing with loss and guilt. That's a lot, yeah. It's always nice when the intense experience is backed up by a plot that's deeper than survive. Yeah, I like games that have a little bit of a plot. Or you could, like, I suppose with games that really don't have a plot, sometimes they might not have a purpose. Or you could just make up your own little thing. Sometimes, I bet there's a game out there like that. Let's move right on. Let's do two in one little segment. 16, Little Nightmares. Yeah, that title's relatable. There's a fairy tale feel to Little Nightmares' strange world, but it's a darkly unpleasant one. And certainly not suitable for kids, unless you want to scare them for life. Yeah. Focusing on a strange little character in a yellow mac, you have to escape the Maw, a never really explained location full of snuffling, twitchy, grotesque creatures out to get you. So I think like of a blob type monster, I guess. I've never played really any of these games so far. I don't think I could handle a horror game. I tried Granny once. And I was like, okay, this is gonna give me fears. So I'm gonna delete this right now. And who knows what'll happen in the future. I might re-download it. I don't know. While it has issues, some frustrating perspectives, and controls mainly the horrible atmosphere and revolting cast still make this a great horror game experience. One minute you're trying to sneak past a contorted blind man's impossibly long arms. Slenderman. That kind of like, from what it was described being, it kind of like sounded like him. The next, you're running from a tidal wave of flopping obese restaurant gluttons. Yeah. It's disturbingly beautiful and framed with all the love and care of a twisted animated movie. Kind of like Coraline. Okay, at number 15, we have Alan Wake. Alan Wake isn't like most horror games. It doesn't trade in excessive gore or jump scares. In fact, it's not that scary on the whole. So, I'm guessing if you're wanting to play a horror game, but you don't like all that gore and all that horror that most horror games have, this is probably the game for you. But its sense of place and character is second to none. That place is Bright Falls, a Twin Peaks-inspired mountain community with a terrible secret. So don't tell anyone. The dulcet tones of the night DJ rambling across the airwaves. Hey, I've seen a pin comic about, like a Pinterest comic thing about the night DJ, I think. It might not be the same thing. Mixed with the little vignettes you can catch on TV make this town feel alive. Like a character unto itself. Its story unfolds like a thrilling TV miniseries, right down to the episodic structure that bookends each plot twist and revelation, which means you'll want to keep playing it for hours. Cause you gotta know what happens next. I hate it when an episode ends on a cliffhanger. It's just like, now I've gotta wait till the next one comes out. Or I've gotta watch the next episode. If you're on Netflix, you've gotta watch the next episode if they end on a cliffhanger. And then sometimes that one ends on a cliffhanger, and then you just go into this big Netflix hole. Okay, let's get back on topic, shall we? Okay. Alan Wake further distinguishes itself by, well, being a lot of fun to play. Maybe that sounds a bit mean, but you'd be hard-pressed to find a more enjoyable horror game than Alan Wake from a pure gameplay perspective. Heh. I cannot talk. Developer Remedy is as famous for action as storytelling, and that comes to bear here, as simple, fluid controls do away with the stilted awkwardness of that characteristic of this genre. Taking on a group of enemies is challenging for all the right reasons. The encounters are well crafted, and the pistol plus flashlight combat combo is fun to use without making you feel invincible. Yeah. So basically, if you want to feel like you're titanium, you can't. This game is gonna treat you like a regular person, like, you have weaknesses. Don't get all high and mighty. Let's do another one. Number 14, Amnesia, The Dark Descent. And I'm looking at the picture. What the heck is that creature thing? That is coming out of that old door. My. That's one flabby jaw it has. Its eyes look really yellow because the pictures looks like it has jaundice or something. As if being trapped in a monster-infested fortress without knowing who you are or why you're there isn't scary enough in Amnesia, the Dark Descent, you'll have to guide protagonist Daniel to salvation while maintaining his sanity. And possibly maintain yours as well. That means staying out of the darkness in a huge building where light is scarce, and running from monsters, which have a habit of popping up extremely unexpectedly. You have no weapons, you cannot fight them, and each daunting new room is usually host to some unexplainable spooky event that drains Daniel's sanity further. So, keeping him all cool and okay, probably impossible. Okay. Weapons. Okay. Of course, the best way to lose your own sanity is to don a pair of headphones and play Amnesia in the dark. And if you manage to get through the infamous water part, that sounds scary. Probably actually is. I shouldn't be joking. Without losing the run of yourself, know that you've succeeded where countless others have not. Okay. And at number 13, we have Until Dawn. And I've actually seen a YouTuber play this game before, I think. Yeah, I've definitely seen a YouTuber play this before. I've seen this on YouTube. Teen slashers have been around for nearly 4 decades now, but aside from the abysmal Friday the 13th on NES games, haven't really been brave enough to venture into that territory. Until now. Or rather, Until Dawn. Funny. A 2015 survival horror game about a pack of randy teens. I don't know what randy means. So, I think they mean random. I'm not sure, because I've never heard it. A pack of randy teens going on vacation to an isolated mountain cabin. Yeah, I've definitely have seen this on YouTube. Played on YouTube before. Only to find that some heinous entity is set on killing them off. But it's not all fun and games. The characters will die gruesome deaths. If you can't navigate Until Dawn's horror movie logic, and it takes every opportunity to scare the bejesus out of you. Well, many games on this list are here because of their fear factor alone. Until Dawn earns a spot for more meta reasons to its willfully, soulfully entrenched in horror tradition, and uses those tropes brilliantly. Yeah, this is not gonna be a blooper. I'm just going on. It's packed with winks to the slasher genre. You'll still love the ridiculous twists, even if you see them coming from a mile away. So, like, it comes up and you're like, I knew it. I knew it was gonna happen. I knew it. You'll laugh as much as you scream, if not more. And few horror games capture the sense of grisly fun so well. Yeah, we'll go on to another one. Number 12, Bloodborne. And the picture, that is a gruesome creature. From Software Dark Souls games, of which this is a very obvious descendant, don't play like horror standards. They're action RPGs built around stat micromanagement and skillful play, and yet they feel scarier than most games. Well, obviously, when you got this gruesome creature in the game, it's obviously gonna be considered scarier to some people. And yet they feel scarier than most games that build themselves around fear. Stress, dread, and jumps come as frequently as loot and leveling. You know, the thing with horror games, I feel like jump scares in horror movies especially, they're becoming way too common. To the point where you almost expect a jump scare to happen every time a character turns a corner or opens a door or something like that. It's probably really difficult to find of new ways to scare people, but I think that's why jump scares work so well, because sometimes you don't expect it, and other times you just get scared even though you did expect it. Bloodborne is the best of the lot, a sprawling, mysterious tale of eldritch horror set in a twisted nightmare vision of Victorian Europe. Traveling down cobblestone streets amidst dark spires, you'll hear hushed conversations behind you, behind firmly locked doors, not behind you. But if a firmly locked door is behind you, then I guess it's behind you, whatever. Wondering who you are and what the hunt you seem to be on could be. It's gaming's best Lovecraftian horror. Whatever Lovecraftian means. Yeah. You'll be driven to discover its secrets as much as you are to master its vicious combat systems. And at number 11 comes Resident Evil 4. This is the series that invented modern survival horror. But that wasn't good enough for director, correct me if I'm saying this wrong, Shinji Mikami. So in Resident Evil 4, he invented the modern third-person shooting. Just for fun. Leon Kennedy's adventures in gunplay are rightly famous, the feedback-heavy combat making every situation a shaky joy. But I hear you cry. How does that make it qualify as a top 10 horror game? Surely it's just an action experience in Resi clothing. Tell that to anyone coming to the Ganado infested village for the first time. I don't know what a Ganado is, so. But I'm assuming that's in the picture, there's a guy with a mask on that is brandishing a chainsaw. I'm assuming that's what that is. The sheer stress of being rushed by the parasite-infested local population, headed up by a sack-masked, chainsaw-wielding maniac, ranks up there with the gaming's most frightening moments. Oh, okay, so that's who the guy in the picture is. Okay. It's a feeling that returns constantly, whether it's one of those iconic boss fights, a battle across crumbling rooftops, or in the most expected locations. So like a dark forest. Resi 4's horror is in how it puts you on the back foot and asks you to fight your right way out. So it puts you in some location and be like, okay, you have to fight all these people. And they're bad. So good luck. And at number 10, Dead Space. And from the picture, you have a robot shining some, like, light flashlight thing on a creature-looking creepy creature thing. If Resident Evil is the king of survival action horror, then Dead Space aimed to be the pretender to the throne. So basically, like, the prince of horror games. Bringing together Capcom's early Dread and latter day over-the-shoulder shooting into one gory package, borrowing from Alien and other sci-fi classics, the 2008 release put players in the role of Isaac Clarke, an engineer trapped on a derelict spacecraft. Soon Isaac finds out the ship isn't as empty as it seems, as a strange alien artifact has transformed everyone on board into hideous, flesh-eating creatures, each more horrific than the last. Dead Space crafts a horrifying experience by limiting the players. Isaac is short on ammo. He rarely knows what's going on in the continually shifting story. Isaac, you need to focus. And he's most in danger of what he can't see. Oh boy. Then he's in trouble. So much of the disturbing atmosphere is built on what you hear, and the amazing sound design uses audio to fashion an entire deadly world around Isaac. If I was Isaac, I would just run. But then running gets you nowhere, so eventually I would probably have to fight. Though the sequel pulled back on the scares somewhat in favor of cinematic action, the original remains trapped in our nightmares. Probably because of these creepy creature looking things. These cannibalistic creepy creatures that were once human, but now thanks to alien artifacts, they're all weird. Okay. On to the next one. Number 9. Soma. Soma has problems largely from clumsy stealth section, but it also has hands down one of the most unpleasantly disturbing stories of anything in this list. To explain why would ruin it, but this plays with ideas of consciousness and what makes you you in a terrifying way. And the picture, the girl kind of looks like a human mixed with a type of bug. Some type of robot looking thing. Robot looking woman right there in the picture. When you're not exploring the rusting, decrepit undersea base of Pathos 2, you're playing with some pretty heavy metaphysics concepts fit to give you nightmares. Oh no, what's happening? Oh, my screen glitched. That's nice. We love a screen glitch, don't we? Okay, I think it's good. This is a world filled with broken machines full of glitching human consciousnesses and slimy growths that expands and grows into something terrible the longer you spend exploring. Can't you do something about it so it doesn't grow? I assume you can, but I don't know. The undersea and biotech elements make a Bioshock comparison hard to avoid, but while there are similarities, man's hubris and science pushed too far. Especially this is far more unpleasant and ethically shocking. The new safe mode means you can also play now. It means you can also now play it just for the story. Finish it and see if you can sleep after. And at number 8, we have Until Dawn, Rush of Blood. And from the picture, it looks like some creepy dolls. And one man doll is like filming you or something. That's just creepy. We love creepy dolls. No, we don't. But it looks like a roller coaster type deal. While Until Dawn created a cinematic choose-your-own-adventure horror experience, its Rush of Blood spin-off focuses on fast-action shooting in VR. The why of it all isn't ever really made that clear. There's a roller coaster, it goes through themed levels full of trying to kill you, but the results are spectacular. Well, basically an on-rails shooter as you dual-wield move controllers. It has an absolute mastery of the jump scare. Yeah. Using pace and distraction to play you like a fool. Okay. That's cool. So basically it makes you not expect what's coming. What was that over there? Oh my gosh, it's in my face! It's a game that could only really work on PSVR. Using its claustrophobia and inescapability to push you so far back into the sofa that tipping over is a very real possibility. And then number 7 is Outlast. And we have some zombie-looking freakazoid thing that I would not want to see in my dreams or in real life. Outlast offers a first-person trek through a setting literally no one in real life would willingly check out. An old asylum that seems abandoned. Yeah, who would check out an abandoned asylum? Like, literally. I've seen videos of people checking out abandoned stuff. Like, a YouTuber would probably go in one of these. This abandoned asylum. So, when it says, like, literally no one would, in real life, would willingly check out, they're kind of excluding some, I don't know, maybe this is an asylum that even YouTubers won't even go in. And I don't think a lot of YouTubers check out abandoned places, but I've seen a lot of videos. And I'm not hating on them, because, you know, it's cool to see what, like, you go into an abandoned building and you wonder, like, what it was used for, what happened to make it abandoned. Like, it's a part of history, basically. But also, strangely, very active. At night, in the mountains, miles from help. Who does that? The setup alone is perfect horror fodder, but this plays out like found footage, the game. Via clever use of a video camera's night vision mode to see in the dark. The grainy, glowing green view it creates gets a little too close to real life as well. It's one part exploring to two parts following shadowy, wheezing shapes in the black distance through a viewfinder while cowering behind a table. That's where I would play. Just kidding. If the littlest thing, like, moved in the shadows, I'd be like, nope, I'm getting out of here. I wouldn't even be in this asylum in the first place. Scary enough already, the perfection of its pixelated, worrying focus pulls only adds to the atmosphere. It's a great game to play with company, as well, because you'll both be screaming at some point. Maybe at the same time. Alright, hang in there, guys. We got a few more. Number 6. Silent Hill 2. Silent Hill, as a franchise, is home to some of the most frightening enemies and situations in gaming history. But the series' most abiding horror is Silent Hill 2. Now, I think there's a movie called Silent Hill. And Silent Hill 2 just looks creepy. Yeah. This PS2 classic manifests our deepest fears as flesh to reveal there is no greater evil than our own imagination. Though he'll encounter creatures like the iconic Nurses and Pyramid Head, which is probably the guy in the picture with the sword that is holding a guy by his jaw, I think. Protagonist James Sunderland is far more threatened by his personal demons. And the empty town of Silent Hill brings them all to the surface. James has returned to Silent Hill, answering a letter that seems to come from his dead wife. What kind of dead person sends a... Like, if it's from someone that's dead, leading you to a deserted town. Why are you there? Why? Like, I would just be like, okay, no one's here, I'm going home. But it's like this dead guy's wife. Or, it's the wife's... It's the guy's dead wife. But if he doesn't know that she's dead, then he may think that she's alive? But all he finds are reminders of his own anguish and guilt over her death, so he knows she's dead. Why is he answering this letter from a dead person? Every corner of the town is inhabited by some new horror, but James has to push past his fears if he ever wants to know what's going on. You and he will not like what he finds beyond them. Silent Hill 2 doesn't just present you with a horror game worth playing, but a story worth being listened to, parsed and gawping awfully about. The deeper you go, the worse it gets. 5. Resident Evil 2 Remake. And from what the picture looks like, it's a guy crawling on the floor and someone's pointing a gun at him. If some person came crawling to me on the floor, And they looked like this. Like in the picture, it looks like some zombie thing. Some zombified human. If some zombified human came crawling to me on the floor, I'm getting the heck out of there. It seems almost unimaginable that over 20 years after its original PS1 release, I'm assuming they meant to spell it C-L-A-S-S-I-C, but instead of a C, it's C-L-A-S-S-I-S. So, its original PS1 release, the classic Resi 2, is back on the best horror list. But then, we are talking about Resident Evil 2 Remake. A from-the-ground remake of the original game that honors the past while building a future for the franchise, with a game nearly 2 decades old. It's a success, and high on this list, because of how it melds old and new so perfectly. It's a perfect retelling of Leon and Claire's original attempts to escape a zombie-filled raccoon city, with all the monsters, set pieces, and story beats you remember. But it's also building with today's horror sensibilities, merging an almost beautiful level of indulgent gore with tight gunplay, clever puzzles, and some beautiful levels. This is as essential now as the original game was back in the day. Alright, at number 4, we have P.T. If you brought together the world's most idiosyncratic game auteur, this article is full of words that I'm not gonna know how to pronounce. Yeah. And one of the if its greatest film monster creators, and they didn't make one of the oddest, most horrible games yet released, you would be pretty upset. Hideo Kojima and Guillermo del Toro's playable teaser for the new canned Silent Hills places you in a single, infinitely looping hallway and proceeds to find 1,000 ways to terrify you. This is no idle boast. One member of the game's Radar Plus team was unable to play this game with the lights off, and was forced to turn the sound down to make it tolerable. There are moments where you face peril, but they're few and far between. The real terror comes from the unknown. Ooh, the unknown. What could be around the next bend? A fresh nightmare or nothing at all? Your imagination fills in the blanks, creating more terror than any simple jump scare or creepy noise could. Add in an underlying tale of domestic terror that would make any Silent Hill fan nostalgic, and you've got the world's shortest masterpiece of horror in your shaking hands. Number 3, Alien Isolation. Countless games have been inspired by elements of the Alien franchise. Be it James Cameron's Space Marines, Ellen Ripley's Fortitude, or the chilling power of silence in a soundtrack. Despite all that, Alien Isolation may be the series' greatest gaming triumph. It takes the gut-wrenching fear fostered by the lone xenomorph in the original film and extends it into a lengthy game. Isolation's tense survival gameplay keeps the pulse pounding for hours and hours. You take on the role of Ripley's daughter, Amanda, searching a derelict space station for her mother, only to find the same beast she fought. You're constantly on guard from the cinematic AI of your alien hunter. This means you're holding your breath as you narrowly avoid detection or screaming in terror after failing to reach safety. The atmosphere the game sustains is impressive enough, and it deserves even more credit for taking the xenomorph, a movie monster bordering on cliche due to overexposure, and making it terrifying once again. It does look pretty terrifying. I mean, it doesn't have any eyes or a nose, but it has a creepy mouth that's forming a creepy smile. But it has beautiful white teeth, though. What does it use? Like, those teeth are 3D crest white strips. Right there. Okay, we're just gonna go through the last two in this recording. Number two, Layers of Fear. And from the picture, it has like this mansion looking thing with a bunch of like baby doll bodies under one nightstand table thingy. One's hanging on the wall, it's got its head, it's kind of off. Then it's got this really creepy painting. Most games can make you jump. They can make you scream, but few can make you doubt yourself in real life. Layers of Fear initially appears very familiar as you explore a spooky, creepy, and cavernously empty house. The gothic story unravels slowly as you play an unnamed artist returning home. It soon becomes clear, though, that madness has overtaken the painter, and it expresses itself in the unreliable narration of the physical world. Doors disappear and corridors warp out of shape just in the corner of view. The game rearranges itself in such a way to recreate the main character's madness that only a few hours in and you'll find yourself questioning everything. Was that desk on that side of the room last time you looked? Are you sure? Add to that the nature of the protagonist's illness. An obsessional painting made from less than savory materials. And you have one of the greatest horror games of all time. Number one, Resident Evil 7. Wow. So the rest in the series might not be that good if they didn't make it on the list, huh? It could have been a disaster, a clunky forced update, and a revered update to a revered series that left fans clamoring for the bombastic nonsense of Resident Evil 6, but Resi 7 is a triumph, smartly feeding off the best horror movies for the last 20 years, effortlessly easing all that edgy new into a recognizable modern reinvention of the series. The central story is fantastic. The mysteries artfully concealed and your tormentors, the bakers, are brilliantly subversive. Switching the action to first person adds some VR possibilities, but also makes the horror feel uncomfortably close. Grueling, compelling stuff in a setting you'll remember long after exploring it up close. But perhaps the cleverest trick is just how resi it all feels. The safe rooms have the same sense of unsettling respite. Ammo feels desperately scarce, and the boss fights have the right mix of terror and glowing, oozing bits to shoot. It's a tight, smart horror game, and far better than most fans dared hope. It's not the scariest or more subtle game on this list, but a brilliant and chilling rebirth. All right, guys, that was the 20 best horror. Hold on, let me go to the top of the page. Just the 20 best horror games on www.gamesradar.com/best-horror-games/ the 20 best horror games of all time. From classics like Silent Hill and Resident Evil to modern horror like Alien Isolation and PT, these are the best scares in gaming. So, if you want to go check out this list yourself to see if what I've recorded me saying is legit, I will put the link in the description, and that's all for now. Bye!